Psalm 1. Like a tree planted by the water. That's our theme for the day. And I just want to tell you that this theme came from a worship and music committee meeting in August. We got together and I looked at the scriptures, so I brought some different options, and I was kind of, you know, boy, I was touched by that passage from Deuteronomy, and the gospel is strong. And worship and music committee said, no, we like for Rally Sunday, we like that idea of a tree planted by the water. That's what we're about, is helping our church and every generation, from the young to the old, every Christian, every family, to be planted by the river of life, drawing their life from the Spirit of the living God. We want every family to be rooted in the Word. Thank you, Mary. Oh, you preached that this morning, being rooted in the Word, grounded so that our roots go down into the soil of God's Word. And we want that for every family. And so this tree planted by the water, we want every family and every individual not only to be planted and rooted, but also to be fruitful in the Lord, bearing fruit in its season. And that's not something that comes as a result of our own efforts. It comes when we are planted and nourished by the Holy Spirit and rooted in the Word. The healthy tree, if they have those conditions, is going to bear fruit, and a healthy Christian will bear fruit as a result of God working in and through us. So they really liked this theme, and of course, we also talked about the trees. This summer has been a tough summer for trees, hasn't it? June 20th, I think it was August 8th, two major windstorms. I was almost sad I missed out on the one in June, but the wind blew so hard that one of the estimates I read in the newspaper said that about a third to a half of the trees in our community were either destroyed or damaged by the storms. I mean, this is a tough time. So the worship music committee, we came up with this idea. Hey, let's see if the soil conservation has trees available, and we'll hand out a sapling to every family, you know. It seemed like a great idea, but this isn't the season that the soil conservation district gives out trees or sells them for cheap or anything. So that didn't happen. But Mary Lewis came to the rescue. And yesterday, as we kind of revived this idea, Mary, after a long bunch of possibilities, says, I have a tree. And it's a calamondin. A calamondin is a variety of mandarin native to Southeast Asia. Say that word, but say it together so they can remember it. Calamondin. Say calamondin. This is a calamondin tree. Mary kind of made the comment at one point, it kind of looks like the tree of life. But she said it's heavy. But Jim Undem and I are very strong. So we went over to Mary's house. It was sitting outside, and we picked up the tree, and we brought it here, and we rode it forward in a wheelchair, and then we planted it. You see, do you know where we planted it? We planted it beside the stream of living water by our baptismal tank, as a representative that you and I are to walk and draw our source from God, who loved us and gave his Son for us and adopted us into his family in holy baptism and gave us his Holy Spirit. And we need to live in daily repentance and daily relying on God's Holy Spirit working in us. We want to be like that tree that's planted in the living water, by the living water. If there was no pot there, if there was anything that was full in the soil, it'd be like a cottonwood growing by the in the arid badlands, but growing up by the Little Missouri and growing and flourishing and having big supple leaves and huge branches, because it's drawing from the source. Dear friends, God is our source, and we want to be like that tree. But a tree like this, you know, it doesn't just, I mean, it grows, but as trees, we don't just happen by accident. If we want to be like a tree of living water, like a tree that's planted by streams of water, as the psalm says, there are choices that we need to make. And I don't know if you heard that in all three lessons today, it talked about choices that we need to make in order to grow in God. And Mary, you did a beautiful job of talking about that as you handed out Bibles today, making a choice to abide in the Word of God, to read the thing and not just let it sit on the shelf. And in that 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, God was speaking through Moses. Moses is giving his farewell address. He's getting close to the point where he's going to have to go away and die. Joshua is going to lead them into a new land, a new era. And Moses knew that in that new land there would be temptations and the people would face hard choices. And so listen again to what Adam has already read. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Those are two different pathways, two different choices. Now, here it's spelled out. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and statutes and rules, then you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But here's the other choice. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, right? You close your ears to the word. Oh, I'm not going to believe that. No. But are drawn away to worship other gods. I don't believe in the God of heaven who God created us. I'm going to follow some other doctrine or some other god and serve them. I declare to you today, you shall surely what? Perish. It's talking about eternal death, eternal separation from God. Does God want anybody to eternally perish? No. But we have that choice. We want to turn away from the God who loves us, who gave his son for us, who gives his life for us, who provides Holy Spirit and all that we need for day to day. If we turn away from his grace and his mercy, you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. But it gets down to the end of verse 19. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. There's living water. There's the Holy Spirit. There's his word. Jesus says, the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. May we be abiding in the word, abiding in the vine. He is the vine, we are the branches, and the life is in him. When we separate ourselves from him, we're like branches that are thrown into the fire and burned. That's not God's desire for us, but he will not violate our will and force us to trust in him. And of course, in the gospel today, Jesus talks about, you know, is being followed by large crowds. I noticed that here in Luke 14. And I Jesus turns to the crowd, and it's almost like Jesus is saying that following me isn't a matter of just following the crowd. There's going to be hard choices. And sometimes, and he uses such strong language. It's a Hebraic way of saying it. You know, listen to this. I almost hate hearing this, but if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, the truth is that Jesus doesn't want you to hate anyone. Vicky, this is not an excuse for hating this guy that you've been hanging around with for, you know, almost 50 years. It's not. But what Jesus is saying, that you might be in a situation where following him means that you're going to be excluded and rejected by your family. Your wife might dump you if you follow Jesus. And your loyalty to me, Jesus says, has to be first and foremost above everything else, or you can't be my disciple. Unless you're willing to renounce everything you have, unless you renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. And to count the cost. You need to count the cost. And, you know, our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church have counted the cost, and many have suffered the loss of all things. But for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, he is worthy of it all. In him is life, and in him is life abundant. And it's eternal, and it has more joy and meaning than anything this world offers. But we need to be prepared to put the Lord first. It's about choices. And so it is in this psalm as we quickly work our way through this Psalm, blessed is the man, the person, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day or night. Two different paths. Verse 1 is one path, verse 2 is another path. And we always have a choice. Which path are we going to go down? Which way are you going to walk? Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Walk is your life. And I got to ask you today, who's informing you? Who is influencing you? whose counsel are you taking? I know a woman who got married. She'd had a wicked mother, and she was deeply damaged. But over time, she came to kind of have a relationship with a Christian woman that happened to be her mother-in-law, and she started. There was a change and an influence in her life of warmth and a growth. But then after many years of marriage, she reconnected with her mother. She hadn't talked to her for decades. And then she started talking on the phone several times a day to her mother. Her mother had not changed. She was still wicked. And this now middle-aged woman began to walk in an evil path, doing things that were evil toward her family. Walking in the counsel of the wicked. When I was in fifth grade, between fourth and fifth grade, everybody, all the adults in that era smoked, most of them. So as a 10-year-old, I thought that'd be cool. Me and my friends said it'd be cool if we tried smoking. Don't cover your ears, my grandkids. You don't want to know. So we would go and we'd find little partial cigarettes in the gutters and collect them and maybe a pack somebody had thrown away, but it had a cigarette left in it, you know? Oh, that was a prize, a whole cigarette. And we'd go to our fort in the summertime, and somebody would get a book of matches, and we'd light up the cigarette and smoke and, you know, bring it into our mouths. I think I smoked probably like Bill Clinton. I probably didn't inhale, you know, but... anyway, and then we came under conviction at the end of the summer, and we kicked the habit. That was the saying of the day. Remember that? The older people, we kicked the habit, right? You know? But I had another friend, Jamie, and his group of friends that were kind of associated with us, and he took everything further. When we were finding cigarettes in the gutter and bringing them, they were going into the grocery store and stealing cartons of cigarettes. And I heard about that, and they wanted us to join them, and it was like, it scared the bejeebers out of me. And I realized that even though I kind of liked this Jamie, I couldn't walk in his counsel anymore. I could see if I continued walking with Jamie, that road was going to reform school, or juvie, they call it today. I couldn't walk that road, and I had to separate. And we get to be adults, and we find ourselves walking with people that drag us down. And the psalm says you may need to separate from somebody. Maybe you're hanging around with a group that does nothing but gossip. That's not good for you spiritually. You're breaking the eighth commandment. You may need to separate. You may need to find other associations of people that build you up rather than drag you down. Blessed is the person. If you want blessedness, if you want the blessedness has to do with kind of the good life, the meaningful life, the healthy life, you're going to have to make some decisions to maybe separate from people who are helping or who are leading you or walking with you on the wrong path. It's the wrong counsel. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, stands in the way of sinners. Who are you standing with? Whose approval are you seeking? Are you seeking to be accepted by the world? If you're going to stand with sinners and seek their approval, later on it talks about standing. You're not going to stand in the judgment. Do you want to stand in the popular crowd, or do you want to stand accepted by your Creator and welcomed into heaven one day? I mean, we have a choice. Or sits in the seat of scoffers. A scoffer, you know, you might think of a scoffer. We talked about this in our quad the other day. A scoffer, you know, is maybe somebody who says, God, that God of the Bible, nah, that's just the old hooey, you know, and they're scoffing God, or maybe they're scoffing people who are trying to live a decent life, a moral life, or Christians who go to church, you know, oh man, they're crazy. Maybe it's okay to go to church, but you don't want to take God too seriously, and you kind of scoff genuine Christianity. Don't join them in that scoffing. But we were talking about this. We Christians can engage in scoffing too. We can sit around the coffee table and look down our noses and point our fingers at people who have values and beliefs different than our own. And maybe they got different color hair or have piercings all over or something. And we can kind of deride them. And, well, Christian scoffing is Phariseeism. So we got to be careful. We got to examine ourselves, repent of our own sin when it comes to scoffing. We don't want to sit in the seat of scoffers. Scoffing doesn't help another unbeliever who Jesus died for to know Jesus. It doesn't help them to come to him. Your love does. So don't sit in the seat of scoffers, but instead his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law, the word law there is the word Torah. And we think of the Torah as being the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy. But in this context, Torah is actually a Hebrew word, means instruction or wisdom. And so what is the alternative to these three associations? It's to meditate on the Word of God. It's to seek God's Word and to marinate in it. And Mary, you did a beautiful job of describing that for our families today. And to delight in the Word of God. You know, the last 6 weeks, I was going through Colossians and memorizing it. Well, that was good for me because it forced me to marinate in Colossians, to meditate deeply on that Word. And I'm not saying you have to always memorize, but memorization does have a function of helping you to truly meditate and internalize God's Word. And the more God's Word is dwelling in your heart, the more you're connected to the source of that Word, who is God and the Holy Spirit. So his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. All right, I'm going to try and kind of cut to the chase here somewhere. Organization. I wish that God... Did I put down a sheet of paper somewhere? Here it is. Thank you. And the one who does that is drawing from the source, right? You're drawing from the Word, or drawing from the water, from the river of God's Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel talks about that river that one day will flow from the temple into the Dead Sea and make the Dead Sea alive again. And it's a spiritual picture. Maybe it's a literal picture, but it's a spiritual picture of the effect of God's Word and of His Spirit. And a person who meditates and is rooted in that Word is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, right? We can't produce fruit of our own effort, but we can produce the fruit apart from being connected to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father through faith. And then our lives yield fruit in its season, not instantaneously, but in its season. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Other people coming to Jesus as they see him in you and you're able to witness to them, that's fruit. Being able to raise your family to know and love God, that's fruit. And as we abide in the Word does its work through us and we bear fruit in its season. In all that he does, he prospers. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to become a millionaire. It doesn't necessarily have to do with financial prosperity, though it may include that. But this prospering is a spiritual prosperity. Kind of it has connotations of the word success. It'll go well with you, better with you. Is your life going to be perfect? No. You're going to still face trials? Yes. There's still going to be losses that you can't understand, of course. But there's a blessedness here. The wicked are not so. Those who have chosen to turn away from the word, what is their outcome? They are like chaff that the wind drives away. I want you to think of the contrast of this tree bearing fruit and of the chaff that the wind drives away. Think of a combine. It's an August day. It's a 30-mile-an-hour wind, and the farmer's out combining. Out of the back end of that combine is this cloud of chaff, and there's nothing of worth in that chaff. It's just the good part is the kernel, and that's gone into they call it the hopper, right? And all the bad stuff. It's not bad, just worthless. And so if we root our lives in just secular culture, if we root our lives in, just nothing deeper than politics, if we root our lives in something else and draw our source, we turn away from the true God, there's nothing of value, nothing of eternity, nothing that really sustains us that comes from that. It's like the chaff that the wind drives away. There it goes. Remind me to get a vacuum cleaner after church. So what are you building your life on? God is wanting us to trust in him, to trust in his grace, in his mercy, in his forgiveness. He loves you. He loves every one of us and wants us to know him and to have his life flowing in and through us. And that's about all I have to say about that.